Welcome to First Parish Church. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Katie Weeks, and I serve as the Vice President of your Board of Trustees. And I am welcoming you to First Parish, which is a welcoming Unitarian Universalist congregation. Everyone is invited to Coffee Hour and Fellowship Hall. To get there, please exit the church to the door on your right. Follow the hallway to the end and go down the stairs or take the elevator and follow the arrow to Fellowship Hall. Child care is available during the service in the nursery. If the need arises, please feel free to take your child there and they will be well cared for. The nursery is in the lower level of the Fellowship Hall, which you get to the same way by going to Fellowship Hall, but down just one more level. And if you're not sure where to go, one of the ushers will be happy to guide you. On most Sundays, we have religious education classes that the children will depart from after the first part of the service. Please see your order of service for more information about our programs. If this is your first time here, we're very, very happy to have you. Please sign one of our guest books, which are located in the vestibule at the front entrance, that's back there, of the church, or at the visitor's table at coffee hour. And I'd like to draw your attention to the announcements, but before I read the announcements, I just wanted to let you know, in these challenging and often heartrending times, FPC is a really special community. The annual meeting on Friday affirmed that we are a strong and committed to building a better world. I feel blessed to be part of this community and to be a contributor to our mission to build that better world. FPC will grow even stronger as we each and all contribute our time, our love, our talent, and our treasure. By the way, that's a UU code word for money. as best we can to help this world embody the seven UU principles and make this a better world for us, our children, and our wider community. Thank you for all you do to make this a better world. So with that, I would like to thank you for your attention. And at this point, we invite you to put your cell phones on worship mode and greet your neighbor.
Good morning, Katie. Opening words this morning are by Krista Tavis. Whether you have come here with heart full or heart empty, with spirits high or low, rested or tired, hopeful or despairing, whether we have come here out of habit, conviction, loneliness, or curiosity, you belong here because you are here, and all that you have and all that you are is welcome here. This morning, we are together the heartbeat of this congregation. Lighting this our chalice this morning is CJ along with his mom. Ami. We light our chalice this morning in honor of those who have served as a beacon, a guiding light to us, whether parent or mentor or teacher or friend. We are thankful for all those who light the way, who give us guidance, who nurture us and support us on our life's journey. That's right. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Hey, Michelle, I hear y'all have some sort of extravaganza for us today.
We do. Traditionally, on our extravaganza Sunday, the committee and I get together and do a skit. But we didn't do a skit this year. We thought we'd try something a little different. So we're going to instead lead a brief discussion about the major pillars of world religion, as that will be the topic covered in our RE classes next year. So they're just going ahead and getting their things together. So I see lots of things coming in, but I'm a little confused. Sue, what is all this?
Oh, these are the world religion pillars you asked for?
I think we might have had a little misunderstanding. I was going to talk about the major world religion pillars, not pillows.
Well, you know, sometimes they sound similar with New England accents.
Well, no matter. As you can see, when it comes to world religions, misunderstandings can easily happen. Our goal in teaching our RE classes about world religions is to help them better understand the major religions and their practices so they'll have fewer misunderstandings with people they meet from different religious backgrounds.
For example, if you host someone who practices Judaism and follows kosher rules, you wouldn't want to serve them pork. Does anyone know another religion whose practitioners avoid pork?
I hear a couple people over here. What did you say? Can you say it louder?
Islam.
That's correct. In RE, we try to help our children and youth learn things that are similar among the various religions as well as the differences. For example, many religions observe a religious New Year celebration, but when it occurs can vary according to the religious calendar that's followed.
Does anyone know what the Jewish New Year is called? Say it loud. Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. When is Rosh Hashanah observed?
September,
yep.
I hear.
Yep, I have late September, early October.
What about the Chinese New Year? Does anyone know when it occurs?
January and
February,
depending on the Chinese New Year.
Who study Taoism often celebrate Chinese New Year, but people who practice another religion do as well. Does anyone know what religious practice that is?
I heard some over here.
Buddhism. Is that correct?
Yes.
I heard some people say Confucianism too, which is also correct, yeah.
That's true. That's great. Well, it's great that so many of you know some information about world religions. Our goal next year is to help our children and youth learn more as well. But we need your help. Today you'll find volunteering forms in your pews, and if you're a parent, you'll find registration forms in coffee hour and online. So if you have a child or youth who will participate in a religious education program or youth groups next year, we ask that you take the time to complete this form and turn it in today.
And we also ask that all adults consider giving of their time and volunteer to help teach an RE class or assist with a youth group. Participating in RE is a great way for you to learn along with our children and youth, and you don't have to be a religion expert or a parent to help out. All training and curricula will be provided, and we'll pair you with someone who's taught before.
And I think one of the things that families don't realize is we ask the family to give 15 hours a year to help with our cooperative religious education program. And if every family did that, we still might have a couple places where we might need help. So if you're someone who doesn't have kids in RE anymore or has never had kids in RE but is interested in giving a little bit of time back, you could also split it with someone else. It's usually like 8 to 9 hours for a trimester. You could split that, and then that's only four hours. That's not a huge amount of time to help our kids learn. And the biggest thing we hear is what Sue said, I don't know anything about it. That's the wonderful thing, especially about world religions, is you just can really truly learn along with the kids. And now this is the shameless manipulation part for parents. One of the things, and this is somewhat serious, is one of the things that the RE committee and I try to do is we say we want to give your kids the world. And one of the things that I personally try as a DRE is to try and make every child, every youth feel welcome in our RE program. And I change things and switch things around and try to adapt as much as I can to help every kid feel like they really do have a piece in our little world. And to extend that a little bit more, we have like little stress world balls. And kids, you get these once your parents fill in their RE form. So we literally will give your kids the world in exchange for filling in the RE forms. Hey, Cindy, I'm wondering if what you think about us doing our world religion pillars.
Oh, I think they look so soft and comfy. I could take a nap in them right now. They're going to definitely make our classrooms more comfortable.
Once again, I said pillars, not pillows.
Oh, it's that New England accent again. It gets me every time. Well, I'm really excited about it. And in fact, we're in the process of developing some adult religious education around world religions, as well as some Friday night experiences that will be for all ages centered on world religions next year. So I hope that many of you will participate in those events and also sign up to teach so that you can learn world religions right alongside our kids.
That does sound wonderful, Cindy. Now, does anyone out here have any questions that we could try answering for you? Nope. I think we're all set.
Well, now, hey, don't you know, this is my pillow, and it's worshipful. No, I think it's washable. Worshipable. Worshipable.
Is it machine worshipable?
You betcha. You bet.
You know, I think I've heard that phrase before. All right. And if you want... I'm wondering what we should do with all these pillows. Do you have any other ideas?
I know! Pillow
fight! Well, I don't think these pillows are quite soft enough for that. But how about we bring all these pillows and books down to coffee hour, and that way everyone can check out the religious education book, I mean the world religion books, and kids can even sit on them and be comfy while their parents fill in their forms. So, and at this point, we're going to carry the light of our, take the light of our chalice to our RE program, and Corinne is going to do that for us.
It was tempting to have a big pillow fight, but we decided that having a world religions pillow fight, not such a great idea. These words for prayer or meditation today are by Evan Carvel Zimmer. If that last name sounds familiar, it's because Evan's spouse, Melissa Carvel-Zimmer, was here bringing greetings from the UU Ministers Association last weekend. Evan is a member of the Unitarian Universalist Central East Regional staff, married to Melissa Carvel-Zimmer, and they have children together, and Evan identifies as genderqueer and uses they-them pronouns. This is titled, Honoring the Deeper Voices. Spirit of life, Today, the advertising tells us what to buy for mom. Instead, help us to listen to and honor the deeper voices. Today, let us honor all of those who have made this world possible for us, those who did the hard work of building a better world for future generations. Today, let us honor the grief of those who have lost children through miscarriage, stillbirth, death, those who long for children, and those for whatever reason, cannot be in touch with their children this day. Today, let us honor the grief of those who mourn for their parents, whether separated by death, dementia, or disconnection. Today, let us honor those who fill in for missing mothering, fathers, grandparents, foster parents, aunts, uncles, and more. Today, let us honor the ways we have each been nurtured and mothered by the mothers who gave birth to us, by the parents who raised us, by those many others who have supported and nurtured us of all genders. Today, let us honor those who survived damaging and traumatic mothering. Spirit of life, help them to heal. Let us remember that not every mother is ready for her children. Let us turn aside from the myths of motherhood on a pedestal and remember that each parent is an imperfect human in need of more support than adulation, in need of our support. Today, let us honor those who are doing the hard work of nurturing, striving to not only meet the physical needs, but the many deep and complicated emotional and spiritual needs. Spirit of life, nurture and sustain them so they may become the nurturers you desire. Today, let us honor all the ways each of us give to tomorrow, knowing that there are multiple paths of meaning and more than one way to birth the future. Today, with joy and sorrow, let us be grateful for life, for the chance to love, for those who love us, and the opportunity to nurture the future. May it be so. Amen. Blessed be. Amen. Ashe. And now I invite you to join in our next hymn, number 146, Soon the Day Will Arrive. This is one that has become a real favorite of mine. I hope that it'll become a favorite of yours over the years, too, as we sing it often together. Please stand in body or in spirit, or sit in body and spirit, as so ever, however your soul moves you. Our reading today is titled Momoyi by Kendall Hippolyta, and it's subtitled For My Son Daniel. The child is sleeping, folded in among the brown boughs of my arms. And a promise, formed beyond language, drawn upward like sap through a pith, stirs through me. In its slow course, I feel a vow so deep, it does not reach the flower and fade of word, but leaves me steeped, resined in its truth. Because I wish this child awake, a man, to know that he can keep lifelong the trust, the self-astonishing joy that he has now. And he can draw from them the strength to make his true path from the place where I am to where he will become. For his own child, a tree, I vow these boughs will never break. Thus ends the reading. Our offering this month goes to not only the good work of this church, but also to the Concord Prison Outreach. And today, of all days, as we celebrate mothers and celebrate parents and those who nurture, I want for us to remember that the prison industrial system is the new Jim Crow, and it breaks apart families, and it destroys family life. Our good work of the Prison Concord Outreach goes into the prison and brings with it hope, brings with it love, brings with it the promise of a new future through the classes it offers that teach things, music, arts, lots of other things and programs that we bring into the prisons and the resources with them. So for the good work of this prison outreach program and the good work of this church, our offering will be gratefully received. Thank you, choir. When I first became a parent, I spent a lot of time struggling with the way our society fails to nurture and support parents. I struggled with it again as a foster parent in particular, because the foster system, it's there to support children, and it does so to the best of its ability, but it fails in so many ways to nurture and support both the birth parents of the foster children and the foster parents of the foster children. It's a system deeply broken as our society is in totality of the ways it nurtures and supports parents. And today is a day where we celebrate and honor mothers in our society. And our churches, many of them also focus on that, on supporting and celebrating mothers. But we fail to really support them. And we fail to honor sometimes all the many other ways that people parent. Less of a big deal is made every year about Father's Day, both because our culture fails to acknowledge fathers as having as an important a role with children as mothers do, and that's a societal failing. But also in our Unitarian Universalist churches, Father's Day falls in our summer service cycle right before General Assembly. So, and there are, of course, no holidays at all for our genderqueer parents who do exist and love and nurture their children and are not honored by either holiday if they claim neither the title of father or mother. And then there are all the people who parent children in other ways. There are grandparents and aunts and uncles and older siblings who raise and nurture children. There are foster parents. There are lots of different ways people support and care for and honor and raise up the next generation. And so today we honor all of those people and the hard work of nurturing and caring for children, of caring for our future. In Unitarian Universalism, we sometimes turn to the Mother's Day proclamation written by Julia Ward Howe for inspiration on Unitarian on Mother's Day, because Julia Ward Howe was a Unitarian, and she had this idea of Mother's Day that didn't catch on, except with us. And she had this proclamation that began with the idea that there is an essential element of womanhood that makes us nurturing and asks us to care for our children differently. Now, I no longer believe in that sort of essentialist feminism. Most of us don't think that women are necessarily more nurturing than men, but that was the belief in Julia Ward Howe's time. And she took that concept to say, therefore, we women will set aside this day, this Mother's Day, to put an end to war. It will be a day for peace, that we will cease letting our children fight because we care too much for them. Today, I think we can say we care too much for our children to let them fight regardless of our gender, our orientation, and regardless of whether or not they are our children, because they are all our children and yet not our children. So instead of saying, arise, women of this day, I say, arise, people of this day, whether your baptism be that of water or of tears, and say, in Julia Ward Howe's words, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our sons and our daughters and all of our children shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, of mercy, of patience. We, women, men, people of one country, of all countries, will be too tender of those anywhere to allow our children to be trained to injure theirs. So in thinking about the work of nurturing, of caring for children, of allowing children to not be trained to injure others, of raising children up in a society that gives them security, peace, and love. Thinking about the work that we all do together as parents, as nurturers, as educators, in providing first love and then security, education, the essentials of life, of food, shelter, and medicine, of working together to end violence, and doing what we can to support children in this world. So I want to make a proclamation of my own today. These are the 10 things that I proclaim, me, because why not, that we as Unitarian Universalists are doing and will continue to do to nurture children of this earth. So arise then, people of this day, and proclaim that first, we shall provide education for our children. We can provide free quality education for children from preschool through college. We're failing our children in so many ways right now, and we know that preschool benefits children, and we can make it more affordable and more available. We can make our K-12 education system a more level playing field where children receive the same level of education regardless of their income. And we can, in our lifetime, fully fund college and eliminate student debt so our children don't graduate from college with debt loads they carry for a lifetime. We believe in this. We are doing this. We will do this together. Second, people of this day, I proclaim that we shall make this world a safer place where children's lives are not touched by daily violence anymore. We are working as a community to end domestic violence, and we are working as a community to end war. And we have pledged ourselves to these through our social mission task forces, through our weekly vigil for peace, and more. We must make this world a safer place for our children. Third, our youth proclaimed what last weekend? Katie, Faye, what did you tell us was the most important issue facing youth today?
Climate change.
Climate change, right. We heard them say loud and clear last weekend that they are telling us this is the most important thing we can do for them. Our children live in a world that is warming, where the environment is more polluted, where the water at their schools isn't even drinkable, and the air is less breathable. We proclaim we will work to stop climate change. Next, I proclaim that we will and are working to make affordable, available, quality childcare. Parents have to work a lot of the time, and in order to work, many need to put their kids in childcare, and they need childcare that they can afford and that it's a quality place. And I proclaim that parents need flexible work schedules, and we will help make work more flexible for them. Women in particular are faced with a situation in which statistics show that if they try to claim a more flexible work schedule for reasons of parenting, they are less likely to get it. Women are less likely to be given flexible work schedules than men. People who claim that its flexibility is needed for childcare are less likely to get it than people who say that it's for other reasons. And so we proclaim that that's going to end. And it's going to end starting here and now. So, choir, we're going to be flexible, right? With the latest child coming into our congregation's life, into the life of one of our employees, it begins here and now. And I proclaim that babies are welcome here all the time. Babies of employees are welcome here all the time. Amen? Amen. Next, I proclaim that parents need, and we all need, a living wage. In order to raise up the next generation, we have to have wages that families can live on. And so we will keep working, as we have been working, to make the living wage a universal thing across this land. And children need health care. They need affordable, quality health care. And we've come a long way in this country on this issue, but there are still children who don't have that in our land, and I proclaim that we will continue to fight for affordable health care. Part of family strength is the ability of women to control their own reproduction. And I declare that we stand for and will continue to stand for the right of women to control their reproduction. Despite what's happening in our country where it's being limited in places like Georgia, which is where my family's from, and other states across this country that are trying to limit a woman's right to choose, our faith has said over and over again, we believe in a woman's right to control her own body. And that's essential for being good parents as well as being free people. We will continue to struggle for, I proclaim, equal pay for equal work. Period. And lastly, maybe most importantly, maybe not lastly, there's more. There's always more. We will work to end violence in our children's lives, in their schools. We will work for gun control and reasonable, common sense legislation that will keep guns out of more hands so that our children can feel safe walking into their schools. We will work to end domestic violence. I think I said this already, but I'm saying it again because it's that important. One in five women experience rape in their lifetime. One in four women experience domestic violence. Men, too, experience this. Genderqueer people experience this. It needs to end, and we are committed to ending it. And lastly, I proclaim that the most important thing is love, and that we will love one another as we love our children and carry this message of love in everything we do as we go forth from this space, so that it becomes the overwhelming message and feeling of our society and our world. Love. So this Mother's Day, go out to brunch if you're going out to brunch. Celebrate your mother if you have a mother who you celebrate with, who is a force of good in your life. Celebrate with your children if you have children with you today. But whatever you do, take a moment to think about what we would really do if this was a society that truly celebrated parents and truly nurtured children, and see if you can take one step, one action, towards making this world a place that truly cares, truly loves all of its children, because they are not our children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself, and they are blessed and holy, each and every one. May they be treated so. Amen. Thank you. That was my Mother's Day proclamation. Our closing hymn is number 311, Let It Be a Dance. Please stand in body or spirit. And, you know, if you want to dance, dance.
Dark, there is no light. If nothing.
These closing words are by Lindsay Bates. With faith in the creative powers of life, with hope for the future of life in this world, with love for all others who share this life with us, let us go forward together in peace. Our meeting has ended. Let our service begin.